Wonder Woman, starring Linda Carter, and Incredible Hulk, starring Bill Bixby, will return at their regular times next Friday evening on most of these stations.
Inside the podcast studio! With your host, Jason Inman, and Ashley. And special guest, Diego Anthony Nunez.
All right, let's do this one last time. My name is Jason Inman. I came up with the idea for this podcast, and for almost 10 years, I've been the one and only psychic. I predicted Spider-Man 2099 would be popular. I predicted Loki would die. I predicted Scarlet Witch would turn evil. And I predicted the downfall of Star Wars at the hands of Disney. And I will make accurate predictions again and again and again, except for that time with the popsicle. And I'll be right, because I am also the one and only Tex Willerman, and you're looking at him.
All right, let's do this one last time. My name is Ashley Victoria Robinson. I am the co-host of this podcast. And for almost 10 years, I have been unable to learn the order of the DC Comics crises. I learned to stop swearing on the podcast. I've proven I can't do accents. I've cried on the show, and I've screamed about Tim Drake again and again and again and again. And I sometimes go on tangents about how wizards breathe in Middle Earth. I am the one and only Nightcrawler, and you're looking at her.
And we have a very special guest here as well.
All right, let's do this one last time. My name is Diego Anthony Nunez. I was born and raised in Los Angeles, and for the past couple of years, I've been the one and only Margot Robbie expert on Geek History Lesson. I'm pretty sure you know the rest. I taught the Mind University about Emma Frost, made my podcast debut on Two Towers, wrote some show notes, hosted a live stream, and wrote some show notes again. And again, and again, and again. And now I'm doing this. I'm the one and only Black Crow 521, and you're looking at him.
Yay! I'm so proud of those.
Good job. I loved it.
Welcome to the Jawiniverse or the Podcastiverse?
The
Geekiverse?
Jahiliverse. Yeah, who knows?
Jahiliverse. Welcome to the first episode of Inside the Podcast Studio. As you heard, I'm Jason Inman. This is
Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And we also have set you up, Diego.
Diego. I thought you were going to say my name. Hi, guys. No. Hi, everybody.
It's all cool. It's all cool. I flummox Jeremy Skinner on the Jason and Jeremy John podcast about that all the time. So it's all good. Thank you all for joining us. It's going to be a lovely night. We have questions from you. We have questions that you can ask live. We have questions from Diego. We have a game with prizes here tonight. And we have a very special guest who's not showing up till the very end. So I want to just give a quick shout out to some of the people that are here live. Tom Trainer says, how's everybody doing?
Yeah.
Terrence W. says, hello, friends. Jake Hefner says, top of the evening, all.
Oh, Jake's the usual top of the morning.
Brian McGarity says, greetings. And Scald Tales Entertainment says, hello. And Sailor Gaines 18 says, hola. And Jesse Schultz says, hey. So thank you all for the wonderful people that are showing up live and for being here. And I also just want to stand a quick step out. If I seem a bit off, it's because I might be suffering from heat exhaustion.
Jason,
so
really trekked it out there at the Trek picket.
Yep,
today.
I went to the I went to support the Writers Guild of America and SAG-AFTRA at Paramount today. And I walked a lot of steps. It was very hot, and I am feeling it right now.
Flew too close to the binary suns. That's a Star Wars reference.
Yeah. So, Diego, how about we kick it off, sir, with some we're going to try this out. We're going to see if it's at. We have music here for. Let's try it out, Diego, with some questions from the fans.
Yeah. All right. So let's kick things off with our very lovely patron, Ramon. Having weekly podcasts is a lot of hard work. How do you manage to keep a constant schedule? And what are your pro tips when doing batch recordings? Love you guys. This includes mi hermano, Diego. Mucho gracias.
We also love Diego, so I understand. the way that we keep up with the schedule is before we started GHL, Jason said, I'm not recording every single week. Yeah. And so we don't record every single week, which is a big help.
Yeah, I used to do a weekly podcast called Box Office Booze before Geek History Lesson. And I was constantly chasing my co-host for like, what night are we recording? Mm-hmm. When can we record? When are we recording? Well, Tuesday, Thursday? It would change every single week. And so as soon as Ashley and I were talking about a podcast, I was like, we have to batch record. I am not doing this chasing the rabbit for a podcast anymore.
With batch recording, though, you kind of have to know what your limit is. We used to record a lot in the evenings, and we stopped doing that a few years in because our episodes were not good. So we'd be very tired and we would be like snippy with each other. And so that's not great.
No.
So now we basically set aside one weekend, which might be this upcoming weekend, like 12 hours from now.
Which might be tomorrow.
When we try to knock out like a month or 6 weeks, depending on usually my travel schedule, to get that, because we learned that we're better when we start during the day and when we take a lot of breaks. So take breaks, hydrate, stay in your lane.
All right. So then on to the next question. We have one from Jesse Schlutz. Do you use an outline when you write? And if so, how closely do you follow it?
Diego, tell us about the outlines.
Yeah. You want to go into this, Diego?
Oh, man. I have a very interesting process when it comes to Geek History Lesson, because you guys give me about 3 weeks, give or take, depending on what it is. Mm-hmm. And what a quick turnaround. But usual formula,
Emma Frost, which by the way, we'd learned about the Tony Stark Emma Frost wedding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I literally emailed Diego and I was like, can you turn this around in 7 days? By the way, I'm sorry. you can tell me no, but I figured since you liked that character so much that it'd be okay.
Yeah, because it's only happened exactly twice when we had to do quick turnarounds, because it was for Drax and then Emma.
Yeah.
And Drax, I usually hit my deadlines like usually the day of, or at least I try to get them at least done the day before you ask for it. But yeah, Emma, I think you gave me like a good 10 days and I did that in like about a week. Like I started immediately after I got that email. So my typical methodology is I usually just go as much bare bones with Wikipedia and all that kind of stuff, as much as I can gather, just get the skeleton down. And then go through the next week, which is basically read everything in context. And I just try to flesh everything out by then. And then by the third week, it's basically writing it in my own words. I rewrite the whole thing in my own words and summarize it and how I view it and what I think. And then I send it off to you guys. But and it more or less stays the same. And then, you know, and then Jason adds his own spice to it. And
I think Jason goes off script more than I do. I'll write out even like jokes or observations that I want to have in my notes. I'm working on I don't know if we've announced these episodes or not yet, so exclusive. I'm working on a Van Helsing, the character, episode right now. And I have like observations in there. And even when I pass my notes off to Meredith, she will write jokes and observations in there in the same style. But I've seen your outlines and they're a little looser.
My outlines are crazy. They're just bullet points.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, I have like, I was just putting jokes actually into Diego has one that called Blade.
Little small known indie character.
So it was, I was at getting jokes in there. So yeah.
Can we address this comment right here? Tom Trainer, can we talk about Diego's dapper jacket? Diego, show off the duds.
Thanks, guys. I'm going to try not to mess my camera angle too much. But yeah, I have a pink blazer. You know, I'm in the Barbie fever. And I also have an Emma Frost shirt in honor of this week's past episode.
Does it say God Save the Queen?
Yeah, it says God Save the Queen.
Oh, nice.
There we go.
Nice.
All right. Speaking of Tom,
turn your camera just a little bit more because we see a little bit more of your lovely face and now your Criterion collection.
There we go.
All right, cool.
Thank you.
All right, so speaking of Tom Trainer, I got a few questions from the lovely man himself. So after almost 500 episodes, what do you do to keep yourself from getting burnt out on the podcast and keep it fresh for yourselves? And then he also asked, do you have any particular interesting stories about any of the guests on the pod over the years, whether it be how they agreed to come on, something they said that had to be cut, or getting to really know them personally after the fact?
I think if you count the mega episodes and some of the bonuses, I think we're actually over 500 technically.
I think we are too.
But not officially. We'll cross that, I think, early next year. Sometimes you just burn out. It's the real answer. That's the reason why we'll try to introduce like new formats or different like styles of episodes. And we've done that a lot in the last couple of years. I think as we've crossed like 400 and 450.
Well, and also because we've crossed 10 years. We're crossing 10 years
in February, next February.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Can you believe?
That's amazing. Congratulations, you guys.
We did use to record in a closet with no air conditioning.
I tell people now as a joke, I'm like, so imagine the first 50 episodes where we're basically in our underwear because it was so hot the whole time. Story about guests. My favorite story to tell about a GHL guest is we had Ryan Sands for our live show that we did in LA before the Panini and, you know, in the before times when you could do stuff like that. And Ryan is a very successful actor who was on The Wire and he was like one of the leads of The Runaways. And he came to one of our Jupiter Jet signings and he walked in and my friend Jordan was standing beside me and she goes, is that the hot dad from The Runaways? And I was like, I think so. And he was like, I really love Geek History Lesson. And I was like, that can't possibly be true. And so when he lived in LA, we would hang out a lot and we were having lunch one day and I was saying something about Flashpoint and I was like, oh, and I don't like Flashpoint. I hate Barry Allen. And he was like, yeah, I know. And I was like, oh no, you can't know these things about me. But Ryan is like truly amazing. He contributed a print to Science.
Very similar to that. Recently, we saw Jeremy Adams, the guy who's writing Green Lantern right now.
Oh, yeah.
And he wrote a bunch of animated movies and he did a run on Flash while he was.
A really great Flash run.
And he's not been on the podcast. But we asked him, we were like, well, what was it like? Like, what did you research or what was your feeling when you were working on Hal Jordan Green Lantern relaunching this? And he said, I listened to your Geek History Lesson. And we were like,
and I said, sorry, I hate Hal Jordan.
What? Yeah. And I was like, so are we going to hear I'm a pilot in this like run? And he's like, I might sneak it in there. But he said that, but like, I mean, I'm still pretty proud of getting, Dan Juergens to curse on the Geek History Lesson Extra.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never, ever heard Dan say a swear except during that time. It was very funny. He's the best.
Yeah.
So quick question, just in response to what you guys were just saying, like how surreal is that for you guys when you actually like put it out there into the ether and you realize like people are actually listening to what you're saying? Like, how does that feel?
We say this to people at San Diego or at like various conventions when they're like, oh, I love this specific thing in this episode, or I love this moment. I'm like, that's great, because I feel like sometimes we just do it into the ether and it's wild to be like, oh, people listen to this. Oh boy. How many thirsty things have I said about Dick Grayson? It's great. Like it'll never get old.
And on this question, Jason has to take a quick break and I will be right back.
Okay. Bye. Jason is doing tech support for mystery guest who Ashley doesn't know about. So we're very thankful to him for all of his hard work, because Jason also does all the tech for all things GHL as well.
Yeah, good old Kansas farm boy, just doing all he can, right, with the heavy lifting.
He's good at literally everything. Like, it's truly embarrassing how incredible Jason is.
Very well organized and very well thought out. Yeah, it's wild.
Are there any questions that you have that I can answer, Diego, on my own?
Let's move on to the next question, because it's a pretty general one up. So the next one's from Amanda Rico.
Support. I just had to take my contacts out.
Oh, okay. Tom Trainer's advice to you was to hydrate.
Oh, I'm trying, man. I've been drinking so much water, but like, holy cow. It's been a long time since I've had any kind of like heat, anything. And this one it snuck up on me like hardcore. Yeah.
I mean, it's weird too, just on that side note, because it's just been sort of pleasant weather throughout the week. And then suddenly just bam, this Friday. And it was just like, okay, well, we're living through it now.
It was very hot out there. So,
all right. Next question.
So next question is, and I hope you're out there, Amanda Rico, because they made a comment in the email saying they were looking forward to the live stream, but they weren't sure because of the time zone. Mm-hmm. But their question is, there are still a few months left in 2023. Is there a piece of media coming out this year that you're looking forward to? Any media, whether it's movies, shows, comics, music, books, or video games?
Ooh.
And then quickly to follow up, she also asked, what has been the most memorable moment so far over all the years recording GHL?
Ooh, that's so hard because it's been almost 10 years. It's so funny. I don't know any movies that are coming out for the rest of the year.
Like, I feel like everything's been delayed.
Truly no idea what's coming out. Because it's behind the paywall, I suppose I can say the name of Struck Work things without too much fear. But everything's being moved, which is kind of wild. Right now, today, actually, the new season of Star Trek Lower Decks debuts. And Jason and I have the screeners for, I think, the whole season. We've watched 8 episodes or so. And in the Discord, I said I would talk to you about it. None of you want to talk to me about it. It made me very sad. But it's a really great season if anyone is interested in like Star Trek and Lower Decks. And then I'm really excited with everybody else who's agreed that we're going to read The Vampires of El Norte in October. And Ramon is going to tell me everything that they do that's culturally insensitive. But I've been looking forward to that book all year. What about you?
I honestly think, you know, like what I was saying before, mm-hmm. I honestly don't know what is coming out the rest of this year because everything, I would have said Dune 2, but they delayed it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like,
Jason had a movie and a TV show in the pipeline that are like
both delayed,
exploded now too.
I don't have any good answer to this, and I feel I feel like we're kind of in the pandemic again where like it's you just kind of don't know when stuff is going to land. So unfortunately, Amanda, I'm sorry, I don't really have a good answer to this. I feel bad
and all the comics I'm looking forward to are coming out next year. Like, I'm super looking forward to Nicole Maine's Bad Dream a Dreamer story, which is coming out in April. I'm like really, really excited about that. But you know, Gotham War can stay over there, in my opinion. I know we've been chatting about it.
Yeah.
All right. And then did you guys want to follow up on what has been the most memorable moment over all the years recording THL? No worries.
The very first panel that we ever did was at either LA Comic Con, which was at the time called Kamikaze. Thank you for being culturally sensitive and changing that name, or WonderCon. And it was called Secrets of the Flash. And it was like a trivia game that we played. And they gave us a semi-decent room, like one of those mid-sized panel rooms. And it was packed. And that was like really incredible. And that's a moment that really lives in my brain. Because we've also done panels at other conventions where there's been like two people in the room. Like sometimes that's just how it goes. It's the same thing with signing. Sometimes there's a ton of, but the first panel that we ever did, that really, really stands out to me. And then I would also say the first episode with Tex Willerman, because I can't believe that that joke made it out of more than one episode.
It's the Nightcrawler episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The question was, what's the most memorable moment for GHL?
Yeah. Or surreal.
Yeah, I think it's... I honestly think it's that Doctor Strange is a yearly thing now.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you go back and listen to that year, you were earlier, like... I don't know what year he first appeared in, like 2015, 2016?
2016 was when the movie came out, so I'm assuming it was 2016.
Yeah. And I think... if you listen to that year, like you were talking about earlier about, like, I think that was the year where I was getting a little, to be honest with you, getting a little burnt on the podcast, because mm-hmm. that's when I was working full time for DC and I was working for Honest Trailers and I was working like 12-hour days mm-hmm. and doing the podcast. And so like I was.
And we were doing Jupiter Jet for the first time.
And we were doing Jupiter Jet and stuff like that. And how I got around that was playing the characters mm-hmm. by playing the characters and kind of like, because my favorite thing to do ever is to make Ashley laugh. And like, so. To like sort of like play the characters and bother her like was entertaining for me.
It must have been before the movie came out, because you're doing an English, you're doing like a silly Cumberbatch, basically.
That's the whole gag, right? Yeah. So
alrighty, so that's all the questions that we have so far from the patrons. So I decided we're gonna move on to inside the podcast, and I'm gonna ask you guys some in-depth questions, and then
every segment is
maybe go like, oh,
duck music.
Feeling it. All righty. So now inside the podcast, I want to ask you guys, can you both tell me about your origin stories and what started your love for creating? And when did you know you wanted to create? Ashley, would you like to start off?
Sure. My parents never told me I was bad at anything. So, except keeping my emotions in check. So I've always been like super, super lucky where anytime I've wanted to create, like they very much fostered that as long as we weren't like spraying arterial blood. My parents let us kind of explore whatever we wanted to. I didn't get into creating comics until after I had met Jason, because I didn't realize until I was like a grown-up person that was a job that you could do, that like people got paid. I didn't realize they were making new comics for a really long time. I thought comics were just like a collection of things that weren't being made, because I never lived in a place that had a local comic book store, as far as I know, that brought in anything new. Like you would go to a bookstore and there would be like trades there. You wouldn't get floppies, or you would only get floppies at like a grocery store. So in 2013, maybe 2014, somewhere around the start of Geek History Lesson, Jason was going to enter the Top Cow Talent Hunt, and he was like, you should do it too. And I was like, I don't know how to write a comic. And he was like, well, then take a comic and
backwards
copy
engineer
it. And then that's how you write a comic. Because there's no rules to writing a comic, which is what's both great and terrible about it as a medium. There's like no standard. It's the same thing with playwriting. So that's kind of how I just was like, I can write a comic. Sure. And I did.
That's great. And it's a great book, by the way. I love that book, Aurora and the Eagle. It's a wonderful book. You guys should check it out.
Jason?
You know, I grew up, I don't know if I've told this story on the Geekish Lesson anything. I grew up on a farm in the middle of nowhere. We had no cable. It was pre-internet. And so the only thing I had to do was imagination and read books. And so I have notebooks. I still have them. I wrote like Star Wars sequel movies before they came out. I have like 100 issue Fantastic Four run completely planned out when I was like 14. I have like all like these notebooks. Wow. An entire Star Trek series is like completely planned out and stuff like that. So like I've just always been like telling stories, and it just took me a long time to figure out that you could tell stories and sort of make money at it.
Yeah. As like a career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. Did I answer the question?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, it's wonderful. Yeah.
It's our show. It can't be wrong.
Sure. Sure.
By the way, there's a comment from Jake Hefner dragging Diego for not doing a James Lipton impression.
Good evening. Welcome to the Inside the Podcast Studio. I am here with Jason Inman and Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And it's suddenly going to be twice as long. We're all the dramatic pausing.
Alrighty, so I do want to ask this quick question from you guys, and I'm going to give this a shout out from Tom Trainer because I thought it was a lot more appropriate in my line of questioning. If you could go back to when you first moved to LA and tell yourselves one thing, what would it be?
Oh my God!
Is this ever going to be public?
I don't know.
Okay. So my joke answer, but it's not a joke, is don't work for Top Cow.
Huh.
I mean that truly with all my heart. 0 out of 10 was not worth it. That's not a drag on some of the stuff they produce. Some really wonderful comics. Sunstone's one of my favorite modern comics, but that was one of the worst jobs I've ever had in my life. My second piece of advice, don't work for comicbook.com. Also one of the worst jobs I've ever had in my life. My main piece of advice about moving to LA is scrape together as much money as you can and buy property, because it will appreciate so much in just the time that you're there. And don't stress out that much about immigration. You're a white person with no accent. It's going to be fine. I like raised my blood pressure so much on that over the years. And in hindsight, it was annoying, but turned out to be like a fairly straightforward, but like, yeah, I'd be like, work better jobs.
I honestly don't know why they would tell.
It's hard.
Yeah. Because I really think your decisions bring you where you are.
And we've been very lucky.
Yeah. Man, I do not have a good answer. I don't have a good answer
for
anything,
guys. Buy property in LA.
Yeah. Good. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I really apologize. I think the heat is getting to me more than I thought. I just can't. Yeah.
Well, you know what cures heat exhaustion?
Oh my God.
A trivia game.
That's good.
All right. You guys ready to get into the trivia game?
Yes, absolutely not.
I'm going to fail this so badly.
We talked about this yesterday, and Diego was like, I made it easier on you. And we were like, don't go easy, drag us.
Okay. So I'll give a rundown for the audience and for you guys. We'll just reiterate how this is going to work out and the mechanics. So the way this will work is I have collected a bunch of names and put them in a fishbowl. I will draw two names, and our lovely hosts, Jason and Ashley, will each compete for the two names I draw. The way this will work is I will ask a total of 10 questions, 5 for Jason, 5 for Ashley, and the subject will be based on Geek History Lesson episodes from this last year. This is multiple choice, and the questions will be based on their opponent's lessons. So all of Jason's questions will be based on lessons Ashley taught and vice versa. We will do this as turn-based. So I ask Jason a question. If he gets it wrong, Ashley can steal it. This will all be based on points. So whoever gets the most points wins. And the winner that gets that lucky patron a bundle of digital comics and will be sent directly to their email. In the event of a tie, we will do a sudden death question and whoever answers first will win the game. Is there any questions, comments, concerns?
Let's do it.
All righty.
Trivia game.
So let's start off with Jason.
Yes.
Who created Barbie? A, Ruth Handler. B, Anne Roth, C, Charlotte Johnson, or D, intern Kat Brego?
I'm going to need those choices again.
A, Ruth Handler. B, Anne Roth. C, Charlotte Johnson. A. All right, good. That's a point for Jason.
I'm impressed.
For Ashley?
Yes.
I think I don't know Barbie. Come on.
What is Emma Frost's middle name? A, Great. Patricia. You got it. All right.
You know why I remember that? Because you tweeted recently.
Okay. Jason.
Yeah.
Which Zelda game has sold the most? Breath of the Wild, B, Ocarina of Time, C, Link's Awakening, or D, the original Legend of Zelda?
I think it was Breath of the Wild.
You are correct.
Yeah.
I was also only mostly sure of
that.
It's
the one that I'm going to spend 10 years playing because it's so big.
Jason's got so many horses now, though.
That's right.
That's beautiful.
Somebody clip that out and use that song.
Jason's got so many horses.
Yeah.
I goofed up. I am so sorry, guys. I forgot to draw the names.
Well, you know what? We can do it at the end.
Let's do it. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Should I do it right now?
Yeah,
let's do it right now. Draw the names right now. Yeah, we'll find out who's going to win.
Yeah. Okay. I got so locked up in explaining the rules that I was like, oh, wait, I forgot the key factor. All right. So we have Amanda Rico. If you guys Amanda Rico. Well, that will be for Ashley.
Yes. And then we DM about books.
And then it is the man of the night. Tom Trainer for Jason. Oop, if that goes into focus eventually.
Well, there we go.
I'm sorry, Tom.
There we go. All right. So, okay. So I just asked you a question. Okay. So it's Ashley's turn.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
In so Georgia, have 1 point.
You have 2 points.
Yes. Have 2 points so far. Yeah.
I'm 2, you're 1.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. In George Lucas's original pitch, what was Indiana Jones's name?
Oh, boy.
A, Johnson, B, Miller, C, Brown, or D, Smith?
Smith.
Good, you got it.
Yay.
The correct answer is Smythe.
Smythe. Sinjin Smythe?
Sinjin Smythe,
That's a reference for old people.
Okay, so here's a little bit of a toughy one for Jason. Which actress inspired the initial design and personality of Mary Marvel? A, Betty Davis, B, Loretta Young, C, Judy Garland, or D, Katharine Hepburn?
Oh, boy. Can I get those choices again, Diego?
Betty Davis, Loretta Young, Judy Garland, or D, Katharine Hepburn?
I think it's A or B. Let's go B.
Incorrect. It was Judy Garland.
It was Judy Garland?
Yeah. She was the only one who was famous when she was young.
I didn't think it was Judy Garland. Oh, okay.
I wish it had been Katharine Hepburn. I wish she'd been
Tom.
Deep smoking voice lady.
All righty. So for Ashley, Kang the Conqueror has many variants.
Oh, Jesus.
Which one of the following is not one of them?
Okay.
A, Scarlet Centurion, B, Victor Timely, C, Sean Harper, or D, Mr. Griffin?
Mr. Griffin.
Well, Mr. Griffin.
Incorrect. It was Sean Harper.
I figured that gave it away because I was reacting to how goofy that name sounded.
Well, that's why I assumed taught that lesson.
No.
Are you doing sabotage?
No, I'm not.
Fun fact, Sean Harper is the keyboardist for Huey Lewis and the News.
Oh, well, you picked that
for the back in time.
You did not know that.
I was in reference to the back in time segment. You
Ryan Reigns, by the way, says Judy Garland is always the answer. And that is correct. Always the answer.
All righty. So for Jason,
yes.
Which of these vampire stories is a Penny Dreadful?
Oh, boy.
A, Baron Blood. B, Varney the Vampire. C, Tex Arcana. Or D, Vampirilla.
Barney Blood?
A, Baron Blood. B,
yes,
Varney
one,
the Vampire.
One.
Okay,
a.
Baron Blood.
Is it A?
It is B.
Varney
it's
the
B.
Vampire.
I don't believe you, Diego.
You did Jim Varney jokes about it.
I don't believe you, Diego.
It's in the recording. All these are recorded, proven.
There's oral proof for all of these.
All right. So for Ashley, which of these underappreciated Spider-Man character has a brother named Mark Raxton? A, J. Jonah Jameson. B, Betty Brant. C, Liz Allen. Or D, Robbie Robertson.
Why don't they have the right last name?
I know the answer to this.
Was Betty Brant the only female?
And Liz Allen.
Liz Allen. God damn. I already forgot what we did in that lesson. I was like, it's got to be one of the women because maybe they got married and changed their last name. Or it's just a stupid comics thing and it's just got a different last name. I'll say Betty Brant.
It is C, Liz Allen.
Ah, what I know about Liz Allen can still fit in a thimble. Sorry, friends. We're doing bad. Jason with the fake out.
All right. So this is our final question for Jason. What year did the original Haunted Mansion ride launch at Disneyland?
Oh, Diego.
A, 1968. B, 1983, C, 1971, or D, 1969?
63?
Not an option.
Well, I'm sorry. I'll read them again.
What was A?
A is 1968.
That one.
It is 1969, same year as the moon landing.
I like the moon landing.
I know, that's why you said
I don't like the Haunted Mansion. why is the Haunted Mansion ruining that year?
So we have the last question for Ashley, and if she gets it right, she wins the game. But if she doesn't get it right, we got to do a tiebreaker.
Oh my god!
All right. So, what real city was Arthur Douglas, aka Drax the Destroyer, born in? A. Pasadena,
California.
There you go, and you won the game for Amanda Rico.
Diego, those were good and also hard.
I wasn't sure because I was like, I kept going back and forth. I'm like, is this too easy? I don't know. And then I was like, it's only easy because I know the answer. So like, but no, okay, good. I'm glad it was a little challenging.
Everything goes out of our brains the second we say it.
Oh my God. All righty. So that is our quiz show. Okay. And then we will coordinate with Amanda and we will get you your comics.
Yes. And I also have some unfortunate news. I did email our special guest and we're going to push them to another episode of Inside the Podcast.
No.
This is more for me.
I was going to say, because you're not feeling
this
well.
This is for me.
Okay.
And, like,
okay.
We will do. I want to just congrats to Ashley. This will be a little bit of a shorter episode.
I will also say, and this is only our 16 friends here are gonna, and anyone watches it later.
Yeah.
If you want to go, and Diego and I stay a little bit longer.
I mean,
if you all want to wrap up.
I sent an email to during your game, and they said that they are very willing to come back.
Okay.
So we just have to coordinate with them. So. If you want to finish off, if you guys want to do some stuff.
Yeah, maybe whatever.
We'll riff questions.
You guys want to do some listener questions?
Yeah.
I apologize. I have to bow out
no,
of this.
No, please do
so,
it back.
No worries. Yeah.
And I thank you all for the support.
See Jake
and,
understanding.
Yeah. And I thank you all for coming. I apologize if we'd done this last night, oh boy, we did the run through, but the heat really, really kicked my butt. So I have to bow out, but thank you so much for your support. We really appreciate it. Diego's done a fantastic job. Ashley won the game. Of course she did. But take questions, talk.
Yeah.
Diego, if you want to we talked about before that you maybe had some questions for Ashley during a certain segment.
Yeah, for sure.
And then,
yeah, we can, yeah, let's riff. That sounds good.
You guys are definitely, yeah. But I'm going to bow out and say goodbye and good night.
Go be nursed by intern Kat Brago.
Good day. Good day. Yes. Good day, everybody.
Goodbye, Jay. Bye.
Do you want to use that chair?
Yeah. I'll get it. I could do it. We're going to play chair roulette here in the Geek History Lesson Studios. Whee! Oh my gosh, I did this literally 11 and a half hours ago. All right, friends. Also, thank you so much, everyone, for your sweet comments for Jason.
And being so accommodated is really cool. Yeah, very nice.
You can't cancel it. So I'm glad.
And
why
we're
fine. Lucky to have Diego here. And by the way, I'm going to say this now that Diego's on the stream. We love Diego so much. We love to embarrass him by telling him how great he is, how talented he is, how much confidence he should have, how beautiful and sexy he is. So you should all also shower Diego with this praise because he deserves it.
So, yeah. So to peel the curtain back a little bit, you guys. So yesterday when we were doing our test run and they had to have me off mic for a minute and then they were saying all these nice things, you know, knowing full well I was listening. And when she made her confidence comment, I was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to go work out. I'm going to take a selfie. I'm going to just be unapologetically me. Screw it. And I just made stories on Instagram, just going wild. Cielo miedo, everybody.
Yes. It's just because you're often, now we're getting Diego psychology. You're very, not self-deprecating, but you're very like, humble. And you should be aware of how amazing you are.
You guys are very kind. I mean, it's a weird thing. I've talked to you guys personally when we've had dinners and stuff like that. And it's just like, it's been my 20s were very rough, you know, and near the end when I was approaching my early 30s, it was like a lot of it had to do with me losing weight, and kind of joining you guys, obviously, too, with the writing and the guys that you instill in me and just like that confidence and just that boost and all that kind of stuff. It really made me go like, I need to step out more and just be proud of myself, be proud of the stuff that I'm doing, you know, and I appreciate that from you guys, from giving that for me, you know.
Well, I learned it from Jason, so we're just going to pass it down the line.
Fantastic,
so
yeah.
Mentor the next generation. So go find a nice 15-year-old, which is Diego, I think, is a good mentor. But anyway, we can stop embarrassing Diego and answer silly, frivolous pop culture questions now instead.
Sounds good. And I mean, if you guys are open to it, if you guys want to ask me any questions or anything like that, I mean, that'll be fun too. If you guys want to riff between me and Ashley, yeah, whatever you guys want to ask.
Pop it up in the chat or Diego. I don't know if you have any questions that we didn't get to earlier. But
yeah, you know what? Yeah, because there were some I was saving, but yeah, we can definitely get into it. So, Terrence One did ask, in your guys' bookshelf, why do you have some books stacked sideways instead of upright?
So that's that bookshelf is that's our sort of main bookshelf. So it's all double stacked. So most of the ones that are sideways are because there's books behind them. And when you stack them sideways versus upright, it's easier to see what's behind them. And that's also it's like pleasing aesthetically from a distance if you're going to do any kind of pictures in it. But we live in an apartment in Los Angeles, so space is a premium. So that's why when you see it in like some of these videos and what you're going to see going forward, that's why some of them are stacked different ways. It's wild. I never thought anyone would care about that. good catch, Terrence.
I have another one from Jacob Westfall. With a busy schedule, when do you guys find time to read comics? And do you read more digital or physical comics these days?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely digital. We're big. It's not in here. I have my iPad and I got my iPad secondhand. It was like one that someone else had and they were like, I'm going to get rid of this. Do you want it? And I was like, I do. It's basically my e-reader. Like all I do on it is Duolingo and Libby and Hoopla. Those are my favorite digital reader apps. And then obviously like Comixology and Webtoons. You just don't sleep a lot, I guess is the answer. Or for me with reading in any form, and I have read, according to my Goodreads, 82 books this year. I really try to choose to prioritize reading over a lot of other things. And I'm really lucky to work in a position where like I can watch bullshit TV mostly all day while I work. So I've watched the whole season 2 of Selling the OC today. If anyone wants to talk about it, please let's. But yeah, so where do you find the time? I don't know. You just
anytime you can.
Yeah, or like if you're going to talk to Todd McFarlane, you kind of got to be up on what Todd's doing. So you read that in a panic. Our Image sends you all of Jeff Lemire's work for the last 2 years at Comic-Con. So you're like, I guess I'm reading this until I die. They're all great, by the way.
So actually, just to riff off that question, because a thought just popped in my head. So, you know, you guys just recently came back from a trip and you've been posting about how you've been jet lagged and stuff. Like, do you ever find that you're overwhelmed with exhaustion? And or do you still find time to figure out how to work and read and do everything? Okay. Like,
I'll tell you, we just got back from Coda. We left on, we live in LA, Pacific time. Hawaii doesn't do daylight savings time because they're smart. So we are right now in the summer, 3 hours ahead instead of two. So we left Kona at 9:35 at night, landed in Los Angeles at 5 o'clock in the morning. I had to work at 8 o'clock. So got back home at six, didn't sleep, worked all day, forgot we had theater tickets, went to the theater at 8 o'clock at night. Because we couldn't, like, should we have tried to move the theater? Like, probably. But Jason and I are very guilty of just like going. But the nice thing about being trapped on an airplane is you really don't have anything to do for like an hour, 3 hours, 5 hours, 12 hours when I go to the UK. So that's like a really, really great time to get any kind of reading done. Like, I read the first A Court of Thorns and Roses book on my way to Hawaii. And I read a whole other book on the way back from Hawaii. So if you're going to be traveling and you're trapped in a car or a plane or a train, like, it's also like low key a good way to catch up on anything that you've been waiting. I've also been reading a lot of Alpha Flight recently. If anyone wants to enter the Pop Verse this morning, we had like Alpha Flight Corner with me and Graham. So you just read where you can. I'll read in the bathtub. Like, I don't know.
You just find the time and take any opportunity.
I just like some reading. Okay, we've got like five or six questions in the chat. So I'm going to pull
up
the game.
Yeah, let's do it.
Scald Sail Entertainment. Has GHL helped your career or has your career helped GHL? Both. Geek history lesson and like being a person who makes things on the internet with a strong social media presence. And I don't mean strong in terms of like followers, just I mean like active, has definitely helped. Like, Jason and I have pilot tested and filmed a lot of pilots for like geeky talk shows that never aired. Aura.tv, which was Larry King's streaming service. We hosted a whole Star Trek streaming show for them that I don't think ever aired that we got through Geek History Lesson. And a lot of it through like Twitter DMs and Instagram DMs and things like that. But then obviously like doing things like DCL Access or Popverse like gives you access to different people. And like, if you vibe with someone, it's easier once you've proven you're not a awful person to be like, oh, and do you want to come on my podcast? So it kind of feeds each other. The weird tangent, the last commercial I shot for Twitter, like in 2019, my makeup artist, was like, I was working on a Geek History Lesson while we were waiting to shoot. And she was like, what are you doing? I was like, I did this podcast. Like, blah, blah, blah. And she downloaded it and shared it to her boyfriend. And she'll like listen to it on shoot sometimes. And that like makes me laugh and makes me smile. And she does the makeup for Jake from State Farm, Kevin Miles, who's an actor who I know and am friendly with here in LA. So he was getting his makeup done by her listening to my podcast. So
that's pretty cool. That's pretty badass.
It's a weird small world. Here's one that Diego can also answer from Adam Grunther. We saw Adam just not too long ago in Florida. If you can remember, what was the first or one of the first Funko Pops you ever got?
Okay. I do remember mine. Because here's the thing. I mean, Ashley knows because I used to work for a retail store, a pop culture store, where it was nothing but Funko. So I can live the rest of my life without ever seeing another Funko again. Yeah, I'll just read that up front. back stock full of boxes of Funkos. Anyways, my first Funko was a Superman. I bought it in Vegas with a buddy of mine. And I think it was like maybe 2 years in. And it was just like, okay, this is kind of neat. I kind of like the design and I bought it. And I think it was like a year before Man of Steel came out or something like that. But and I still have it. But it was funny too, because it was kind of like cheaply made in the sense that it's like, it's not as finite as it is now, where like the colors faded and now it's a little bit like not as polished. But
mine was it was right before I moved to the States. So it must have been either 2009 or early 2010. I got in the first DC wave, they had like a Tim Drake Robin. And I bought that at, it's a store in Canada that does not exist in the States. And they mostly were known for selling CDs. I cannot remember what it's called, but I can like see the one in the Fredericton Mall in my brain. And like you said, the body wasn't shaped quite the same. He was like thicker and like his arms were rounded and his legs were kind of, and his eyes weren't painted super nicely. Like you could see where it had smeared on like the side where the brush stroke. Like
It was before they perfected it kind of thing. Yeah.
And then it wasn't until like 5 or 6 years later, like, when Funko like really popped off and was a thing and like everything had a Funko suddenly. So, I mean, mine was, yeah, like boringly and appropriately Tim Drake Robin. We have a question just for you, Diego. Other than Emma Frost, what lesson are you looking forward to writing?
So one other one I would love to write for you guys. I just don't know when. Because, you know, another thing is we always try to time the lessons based on whatever is relevant to the character and that stuff. So, but I would love to write for Power Girl. That's a character I recently fell for in the last year or two. Like, I just realized, like, how special. Because I used to, like, really downplay her as, like, oh, she's just this weird version of Supergirl that's over there.
With the boob window, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then I read the Jimmy Palmiotti Amanda Connor run, and... Yes. And I,
where she's like walking naked through her apartment out of the shower and the cat is just like covering her, and it should be so gross, but like there's just something about how they work together and their sensibilities that it's like fun, and she's playful in a way that Kara is not. Like
I love, just on a side note, like how Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda work together, it is so cute. Like I love them as a husband wife duo. Yeah. It's just, it's perfect. But yes, there's just something very endearing about that run, and I ended up just falling in love with that character. And then like, I don't know, I got very like into it on a psychological level of just like, this is actually very sad that she has no place to call her home, essentially. Like she always feels like an outsider. And I feel like the recent stuff they've been doing with her has been kind of reflecting a lot of that or deep diving into that. And I don't know, I find that very like endearing and just magnetic. So yeah, that's something I would love to do. Cause I think you guys made a reference to her earlier this year and I was just like, okay, I'm gonna send that as a request and a tweet of, I would like to write this one.
She's one that we sort of kick around every, and she was on the schedule for a minute this year because obviously her new series by Joanna Starr just debuted. And then like, I don't remember what we punted her for because I don't know what time is. But she's like a character who like has been on and off and on and off and on and off the schedule at like various times. So,
and now plus two, and also the schedule has been weird too, because we had, you guys had like a month planned of August was supposed to be very different. Yes. And then things happened and it was like, oh, and then that's how Emma Frost happened actually because of that. But yeah.
Yeah. Blade has been done for a hot second as well. And like sometimes like Jason really tries to get Diego stuff like well in advance to give as much time as possible. But like, I don't remember why we moved Blade. Maybe the movie moved. But yeah, so we've been done for a second and we wanted to still use it. So we moved it to like just a different part of the year. Spooky.
Okay. Did you guys record it or no?
No, that's this weekend just... job. Yeah. Okay. We're doing basically everything to get us past New York Comic Con. October 12th to 15th in New York Comic Con, New York City. Please come see me. I'm hosting the Ewan McGregor Main Stage panel. We're pop first. So we're trying to get past October 15th. So it's like, it's a big session this,
oh man,
this week. Adam Grunther says, I am not sure if this has been asked, but what's your favorite GHL lesson on a female character that you've done? Well, Diego's is Emma Frost. I'm going to just speak for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a white person, knows me. Like, that's my place.
We do have to do Emma talk. We should save that for the end of the podcast.
We should do Emma talk.
Yeah.
Or if not, if we forget or something happens, let's try to pin it and we'll do it when we do this again.
Jason. For sure.
There's one coming up that I'm really proud of that I think is really very good. I'm really proud of the Jean Grey episode, actually, because I don't like Jean Grey. And I endeavored really hard to like find what was interesting and compelling about her in that episode. But I'm also particularly proud of the Barbara Gordon episode, which is the first episode that we ever did a Geek History Lesson extra for. It's like,
oh, wow.
You know, I want to say it's episode 60, but I think it was much later than that. Anyway, so I really like the Barbara Gordon episode. I'm just scrolling, scroll. If the Bat Family were to have a podcast, what would it be about? Childhood trauma.
Yeah. I mean, it's just all them relating stories and how dad treated them all.
I mean, if they were to have a podcast, let's be honest, it's going to be hosted by Dick Grayson.
Yes.
Jason Todd is going to be like your Howard Stern shock jockey type. Damien's going to be the person you hear in the background, but never on mic. Tim is going to be running the board.
Yeah.
And Babs is going to do like literary corner, right?
I think
you solved it. Ryan Range is giving you some love for Power Girl supremacy with three exclamation points, no less. Jake also saying, remembering your Instagram DMs. I like that people are friends. It makes me so happy.
I love it. It is actually low-key one of the greatest gifts Geek History Lesson has given me, because it's just like, by the way, if you guys that are in here and not in the Discord, you're really missing out, because there is some legitimate like great stuff going on there and some real beautiful bonds. Like, I am legitimate friends with at least four of the people that I follow outside of just Discord and like on Instagram and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, they're Jake, Tom, Ramon, Meredith. You're all wonderful people. I love you guys. Like,
it's funny. We resisted. People asked us to do Discord for a long time, and we were like, I don't understand Discord. I don't want to. And it took me a very long time to figure out how to do it. And it's like my favorite corner of the internet
it's great.
It's mostly just us being like, I thought this was great. Did you also think this was great? more Emma love, and then more Power Girl supremacy, honestly. Power Girl, yes. SidX1210 says, I don't know much about Power Girl. Maybe I will read more. Diego, do you have, other than the Palmiotti Connor, do you have like any recommendations for Kickstarter or anything? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
I do like the recent stuff that's been going on, because a lot of it was backups on Action Comics, and then now she's actually getting a solo series that's launched. And I feel so bad because the writer's name, and you just had her
Joanna
on your
Starrer.
Show.
That's the yes. Honestly, like, the reason I can remember was because I spoke to her and she was really like really really lovely.
Yeah, I've been really digging her stuff, and I'm really looking forward to that series launching. I know there's a scene that's a little problematic, but I do think that was a book that really kind of got me, was the JSA Classified mm-hmm. that Jeff Johns wrote.
Yes, I know exactly what you're referring to. It mostly holds up, which is honestly the most you can hope for from any piece of media.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that was a book that really kind of nailed it for me, of like, oh, okay. Like, this is what hooked me onto her. Yeah.
Tom Trainer says, what are you going to talk to you McGregor about if this strike is still going on? Okay, so I have been, since the actor strike started, so I was in Florida Supercon and was hosting a bunch there, which was fine because the WGA strike was on, and they didn't have as many stringent rules about who can talk and what you can talk about. And then the minute the SAG strike happened, I said to all the people I know at New York Comic Con, you have to have a plan B for if this is going to be going on, because all the stuff that we're hearing in LA, which is rumor and conjecture, just like anything else, is that it's going to go on until at least the end of the year. So like, we should be prepared if that's the case. So to answer your question, I have no freaking idea, because we won't be able to talk about struck work. And it's not that I'm nervous about what I will talk to him about, because I will have pre-prepared questions that either him or his people will sign off on, you know? So we'll have 10 to 15 talking points. Maybe I'll ask him, what's your favorite thing about New York? Maybe he's been in a play recently. Maybe I'll be like, what's it like being married to Ramona Flowers? You know, like, we'll find something that, as two performers, I hope we can fill 45 minutes, you know? My bigger concern is just honestly and transparently, if we're doing questions from the audience and people are going to want to ask stuff, and if you're not buried in it, it's hard to like understand what struck work means and like why that stuff is important. And people are just going to want to ask Star Wars questions. Like, that's what I'm more concerned about, honestly, is that. So what am I going to ask them about? I don't know. I will fully write those questions probably like a week before. But if anyone has any suggestions, please send them to me. Because I mostly know him as like that guy from, from Trainspotting.
quick side note. Are you going to LA Comic Con this year?
It's so funny. I'm about to submit a panel. So I was going to send you an email and be like, Diego, you want to be on this panel? Probably.
Okay. Cause I just got an email from them which was funny. Cause it was just like, you know, cause I used to usually go. So I always get the like, oh, passes are up. Did you see who's on the guest list?
No. Who?
Whomst? Your four hobbits are going to be there.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I knew they were. Billy or Sean and Elijah were there last year and I couldn't get into that panel. Interesting. I've met all two of the four hobbits. So
all four of them will be here in December.
Oh, I might cry. Well, they all live here.
No, I know. But I mean,
by the way, if you listen to enough things that Dominic Monaghan does, he will fully you can figure out where he lives. He is not concerned about his safety. And I would be. I am being encouraged to wrap up our conversation.
Okay.
So I want to pull one last question from the chat, and then Diego and I think can do plugs and we can send everybody off into this good night. Matt Norton has a great question. Which superhero would make the best podcast host?
You know, I would probably say Superman. You know, for him being
that would actually be like a lovely podcast. That would be like a youthful. He's hosted TV before, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, you know, his background is news. I could definitely see him carrying a podcast.
I think for pure entertainment value, there would be no actual value. Like, it's booster gold, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Wait, who is? Right down there, right in the corner, right here. He's holding hands with Ted Kord because they're married, and I will hear and I will brook no argument. I do think Matt Murdock would be a good podcast host, but it would be one of those like NPR style deep dive, like Legal Eagle kind of, you know, the ones that are kind of dry and you don't listen to every week, but you dip in and out of because you learned a lot. How dare you, Adam? How dare you? That's true. Then Harley Quinn, the animated series is really fabulous, which is wild because I did not like the first season of that show. And I think it's turned into something really special. So.
It's a rough start, but it definitely picks up, which is what's fantastic about that show.
Diego, thank you for doing this and being here and being like, it was funny before we started, we were like, we'll just go with the flow. It's going to be fine. And that is exactly what happened.
Yes. And I think it
with the flow.
Yeah. And I think it came out pretty well. I mean, I had a good time. It was great to hear from everybody and yeah. And we got through most of our stuff with the trivia game and stuff like that. Congratulations, Ashley. And
thank you. Usually Jason beats me at everything. So I'm honestly impressed. Diego, if people aren't in the Discord, which there was a great comment, can I find it again? No, I probably can't. Here it is. The Discord is like a clubhouse. It is. It's honestly the best. And we browbeat everyone into just being nice. So everyone's just really nice. But if people aren't in the Discord, but they want to be your friends, they want to like slide into your DMs and tell you how cool that jacket is, where can they find you on the internet? And don't forget to shout out the YouTube channel.
Yes. So it's all the same moniker, BlackCrow521 at YouTube, Instagram, and then I almost said Twitter, but I forgot now it's X or whatever.
No, it's Twitter, and it will always be Twitter.
Twitter, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I'm there too. And then I forget that I'm also on what's the other one? The off brand from Instagram?
Blue Sky?
No, it's the
Threads.
Yes, yeah. I'm on Threads as under that name. But yeah, if you look up BlackCrow521, yeah, you can coordinate with that with any website and you guys will find me there.
Yeah, because Diego's smart and puts his brand across all platforms.
And then, also just for a quick plug, because I know earlier this year I was talking about it, because back in June I did the Man of Steel essay. And so I've had a busy summer because I just decided they're both videos are going to be very massive. So I'm writing them both at the same time. And I am recording them at the same time. My initial intention was to release BBS this month, but I've decided to do it. My goal will be November for BBS and the Snyder Cut will be in December. And I'm hoping to hit that deadline, but that's what's going on right now. So.
I can't wait for the Snyder Cut one. That's going to be wild. God bless you for doing that.
Yeah, we'll have to talk because I didn't really know what I wanted to talk about, but then I realized there was so much to talk about and it's just what do I want to talk about specifically, I guess, you know, but it's going to be fun episodes though.
You can find me everywhere at Ashley B. Robinson. The V is very important. You can find me in 3D at New York Comic Con. You can also find me in 3D. I don't know if we have any people around Vegas, but I'm going to be at a Magic Con Las Vegas, which is sometime at the end of September. I think it's the 22nd to the 24th. I don't know. I know I'm going to be there for Hobbit Day, and I'm kind of mad. But if you're like Las Vegas adjacent, or if you're like a magic person, I'm going to be there in September, and I'm going to go see RuPaul's live show. So if anyone wants to come with me, hit me up. This has been Inside the Podcast Studio. It did not happen as we planned, but it was beautiful and sexy, and we're going to do it again in a couple months. So I'm going to now say we're going to wave, and we're going to say goodbye until the stream ends. Goodbye.